Hey guys, I'm back. Oh, and this is You Don't Want to Know Podcast with Mag. Hi guys. So if you can't tell, I still don't fully have my voice, so that's super fun, but it's okay, we're powering through it. I have free time. I have an hour and a half before bedtime. It's 8:15. And guys, guess what? 6 months until Halloween. How fitting. I didn't even mean to do that. I know I posted that on my Instagram story, but I didn't think of it. I came home, I made dinner, and I was like, oh my gosh, I actually have some time. Let's just bang it out. I've had this one ready to go for a little bit, so I'm super, super excited to do this. But first, let's get some business done, okay? It's been a while. I don't know how long. It's been too long, let's be honest. And I hated that this happened, but I'm in school and it is crazy hard. It's taking up a lot of my time because, one, I'm in school full time. Two, I am trying to plan a wedding and pay for it. Then three, I'm working full time. So I have such little free time and I try to just budget it out so well. I don't know if you guys remember, well, probably wasn't that long ago for people listening to episodes. I always say how everything is slotted in my life for a certain amount of time, and when something is off schedule, it throws everything off. Well, that's still how it is. I just have so much less of it. But here we are. I made it, guys. I'm so excited. I'm so happy to be back on the mic. Here I am, even though I probably don't sound 100% yet. All right, so the business end of things. Guys, once again, not a lot of free time, so not a lot of movies, but I do want to talk about some movies. Like, I've been holding these in my mind saying, like, I need to remember what movies I've watched because I need to talk about it. First thing, I don't remember if I talked about Saltburn, but if I did, I'm so sorry, but I'm going to talk about it again because I'm still annoyed by it. Saltburn, in my opinion, is a movie that lost its way. So I wanted to be super artsy, and I don't know if you guys are in like that kind of thing where it's like, oh, this movie is super artsy, like he didn't pick up the pencil that was blue and it was blue because it was on his mind and it has all these layers and it's because his mom didn't treat him right, and if you look at the pencil at the end of the movie, it's blue and it all makes sense. Like, I can't stand those movies because I go to the movie theater to like decompress. I want to be entertained. I don't want to have to think so much. But now I'm just in that mindset where I'm like, what did this movie mean? What am I missing? There's pieces that I don't understand. And I felt like Saltburn wanted to be that movie, doing things like subtle things that you have to pick up on. There is a scene in that movie that I skipped. I used the button where it was like 15 seconds. I had to push that button too many times to skip a certain scene. I don't want to like give it away. I'll just say Graveyard. If you've seen that movie, you know. Didn't have to be that long, made me incredibly uncomfortable. I probably only watched 5 seconds of it. I still did not like it. Unnecessary. And then finally, my final thoughts on it. At the end, how I said it lost its way. I think what happened was the director was like, I don't even remember what we were trying to do in the beginning. Let's just wrap it up, make it clear as day, because we've lost it all. Our money's all gone. We just got to get this done. So that's what happened. That's exactly how I picture that movie. Did not really like it that much. I watched the whole thing. Would not watch it again. If there was time travel, I would definitely do time travel to take away that. Because it was just, it was not worth my time. The actors, they're the one actor, I don't know anyone's name, but he's a cutie patootie. Didn't mind looking at him, but other than that, whoa. Not it for me. Really not it for me. The next movie. So I was recommended this by someone who is no longer my friend. No, I'm just kidding. They're still my friend, but I just don't trust them anymore. Poor little thing. I literally did not finish the movie. And I finish every movie I watch. That one is definitely an artsy movie with layers that I don't care to find. Honestly, that's an onion that I don't wish to peel. It's not a cake with layers. It's an onion with layers that I wish to keep in its little bulb in the ground, tucked away for next season. I don't know. It was a lot of sexual activity, which I just didn't think was completely necessary. She just felt over-sexualized to me. And it's very basic. I don't know. I just couldn't get into it. It was just all very surface level for the most part. But then the stuff that was supposed to be deeper was too deep for me. It was just too much. So I got halfway through it and I was like, I can be done. So I was done. Next movie. Guys, I think I have three more. Just wait. Really quickly. Madam Web, I think. Big flop. Absolutely not. Don't watch it. Not worth it. Next movie is Civil War, guys. So that has Kirsten Dunst in it, I think. I want to say. So once again, going back to the artsy movies, they have ruined me, guys. Because at the end of the movie, I was like, okay, what are they trying to tell me in this movie that I just did not get? So my idea was like, maybe they're trying to say that everyone is so focused on social media and taking pictures and becoming famous that they're not paying attention to the things around them. And that's why the person had to do what the person did. And I'm not going to go any further because I don't want to ruin it. But then I told my fiance, I was like, what do you think? And he's like, I just thought it was a movie about that stuff. And I was like, oh, maybe I'm just reading into it too much. But the whole time there was like a clicking noise. And I think it was from the projector room and they wouldn't do a thing about it. So that might have ruined my experience for me. Two more, I swear. The other one is Ministry for Ungentlemanly Like Warfare. Holy cow, guys. Surface level, action, comedy, historical, war, hits every base for me. It was so good. The acting was so good. It had the comedy to it, probably embellished, which I don't love, but that's okay because like at least it's not like, oh, this is like super close. It was like, you know, this is based off of it, but we're just having fun here, you know? Absolutely loved it. Wasn't anything too much. Was a really good movie to just go and watch and enjoy. I couldn't recommend it more. I loved every part of it. And this one's got two parts. Oh, maybe two and a half, technically. It's, oh, what was the first movie? The first movie was called Pearl. The second movie was called, X? Yes, X, which is on Netflix. And then the next one is called XXX. Super good. The first one was a little odd. I don't know if it was low budget or what, but it was very, very good. It was about this girl way back in the, just before the 1920s, who was stuck on a farm and she just wanted to be famous and it just kind of spiraled out of control. And then the next movie, X, kind of ties in with it, but in a way you would not expect. That one came out pretty recently and oh, it was so crazy. I watched that movie and then the next day I saw a trailer for XXX and I was like, oh my gosh, it's the next movie. It's a sign. It was so cool, but it was very good. A little spooky, had its like jumps to it. Definitely some weird parts if you don't see Pearl, and I don't think Pearl is on any streaming services. So if you think something's weird, it would make sense. It's not artsy. It's not trying to be artsy. It just makes sense with the movie Pearl. I promise. Okay, guys, I'm so sorry. That was very long, but I just love talking about movies. And I don't want to give anything away, so that's why I'm very brief about it. But, you know, the reason I do it is because I don't know if anyone actually like cares about this part, but I know that like I always look for cool recommendations. So I hope you guys at least understand what I'm trying to do, even if you don't like it. Okay, so now the second part is the True Crime Calendar. We are way off, guys. Way, way off. So I skipped January 28th and 29th. It's tied together because it's just a quote. I don't really think it means too much. But this one is about the Miranda rights. So you got a little knowledge coming your way. Get ready. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. You have a right to an attorney. If you cannot afford an attorney, one will be provided to you. Do you understand the rights that have been read to you? With this in mind, do you wish to speak to me? So that's the Miranda rights, a little spiel. Well, I guess I could have waited and read. The above warning is a list of suspects' Miranda rights. Sorry, that didn't make sense in my mind. protected under the Fifth and Sixth Amendment, namely the rights against self-incrimination and the right to speak with an attorney before being questioned by the police. The language is derived from a landmark 1966 Supreme Court case, Miranda versus Arizona. The case determined that any statement, spoken or written, that the suspect makes during an interrogation is inadmissible in court unless the suspect is aware of their rights before questioning. Authorities must confirm that the suspect understands their rights and has voluntarily waived them. They do so by reading the suspect's rights and also known as Mirandizing. Mirandizing. There we go. So if you ever get arrested, just know that you got rights, kid. You got rights. Okay. My favorite part. I love it. Okay. There's just so many different things in this podcast. I hope you guys appreciate the diversity. You got the sound part of it. I don't even know what that's called. It's like some abbreviation. But whatever. Here it is, guys. The true crime of it all. Let's get uncomfortable. Today's case is about the murder of Billie Jo Jenkins. It's not going to be a very long one, but it is an important one. So on February 15th, 1997, the Jenkins family had a very busy day. Three of the five Jenkins daughters were shopping with their mom. One was at home and one was at a friend's house. Eventually, Sean, the father, went to go and pick up the one from a friend's house and a couple others came home. He decided that he needed something from the store, so he took two of his daughters and left Billie Jo at home alone. He decided he didn't need whatever it was. Came back to a horrible scene. He saw Billie Jo out on the ground covered in blood. He went out to go see what was going on, and all of a sudden his daughter started screaming. So he ran back inside and put him in a place that they couldn't see the daughter anymore. He ran out to his daughter and he just was shocked, completely shocked, because she was lying in a pool of her own blood. Just absolutely terrifying. So let's go back a little bit and let's learn a little bit more about that family and what happened that day. So Billie Jo, her name is Billie Jo Jenkins, like I said, but she's actually a foster child. So the Jenkins family took her in, the same name. Billie Jo, she had a really tough life. She was born March 29th of 1983 in East London. So this is across the pond, as they say. Terrible, terrible accent. I'm so sorry. But it had to happen. When her father went to jail, she was put into the foster system. And she ironically had a friend named Annie Jenkins. She was 8 at the time. She had two very loving parents and three sisters. Lottie, who was 7, Esther was 6, and Maya was 4. The family had decided to take in Billie Jo and make her the foster daughter, and she was 9 years old. So even though Billie Jo had a very, very, very tough upbringing from obvious reasons, it was impossible to tell because she was just an unbelievable girl. She worked so very hard. She was a very fun-loving girl, and she had just this absolutely wonderful dream to become an actress. So after about 5 years of being with the Jenkins family, they decided to take legal guardianship of Billie Jo to kind of complete their little family, which I think is so sweet. So that horrible day started with Louise, which is the mom's name, taking Maya, Annie, and Esther shopping. Sean stayed home with Billie Jo to finish her chores and earn a little bit more money, and Lottie was at the movies. Louise called Sean because she had grabbed the wrong checkbook and needed him to come to the store, with a correct one. So he ran over and gave it to her, but it was full. He grabbed another wrong one. So he had to go back and forth again, which would drive me crazy. In the meantime, Lottie, who was at the friend's house, was brought to a clarinet lesson by the friend's mom. Very nice of her. Sean was eventually going to pick up Lottie, but he didn't really know how to get there. So Louise, when they were coming back, was showing him the way back to that house to pick her up eventually. So once they made it back home to their house, Louise decided to go to the beach, which sounds awesome right now because it's so wonderful. I love spring. So Sean had the older girls doing some chores around the house. Annie was cleaning the storage shed outside, and Billy Joe was cleaning the patio. So after a little bit, eventually he had to go pick up Lottie, and he asked the girls if they wanted to come. Annie was like, heck yeah, I'm getting out of chores. But Billy Joe wanted to stay and earn a little bit of extra money, so she didn't go. She stayed back to paint. So Annie and Sean jumped in the car and went to go pick up Lottie, which they did. And they also grabbed Lottie's friend, dropped her off as well. So it was kind of roughly like 3:15 when all was said and done. So Sean got the girls home and they saw Billy Joe painting and they're like, oh my gosh, heck yeah, I want to paint too. It's so funny because it's like one of those things where it's like, oh, I don't want to start. But when someone's doing it, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm in. Let's go. So he realized that he was going to need some mineral spirits, which I think mineral spirits are like a paint thinner or whatever they're called. It was white spirits, and white spirits, I believe, are like mineral spirits, which is like how you clean your paintbrush. So he got the girls back in the car and went to the store to pick it up when once again he realized he grabbed the wrong checkbook. Oh my gosh, I would be so annoyed. So he just decided to go back home and he just threw his hands up in the air saying like, I'm just done. I've been driving around all day. I can't do this anymore. So they drove back home, and as Sean walked back into the house, that's when he saw Billy Joe. He ran beside her and just saw this absolutely gruesome scene. And as he's next to her, he hears his daughters screaming inside. So he got up and he ran to the daughters. He had to like escort them to a part of the house where they couldn't see her just absolutely beaten up body. So once he got them into a good spot, he ran back and assessed what happened to her and then called the police. While he was on the phone with police, he saw a little bubble come from her nose and pop. So he told the operator that he thought that she was breathing. He would later tell the police that he didn't know if she was breathing or not. So that kind of brings up some questions later on. So at some point after the 911 call, he called the neighbors and she suggested calling the police again. So that ended up being 8 minutes in between those two phone calls. When the ambulance came in, Sean was in his car for some reason. Well, he said that he was going to put the top back on because it looked like it was going to rain. So he literally got in his car and then was like, what am I doing? Got out of his car, went back inside, which I can understand that. I am a very chaotic person. So I'm like running around doing a bunch of stuff and I'll be like, okay, I can do this real quick. No, I can't. I can't do this. I'm going to go to the next thing. So I kind of understand why he would do that, but not fully. And everyone's different. So at that point, he called Louise. I think it's Louise. I'm so sorry if I've been saying Lois. Louise. And the entire family went to the neighbor's house while the police were inspecting the home, looking for any signs or any clues of what could have possibly happened to Billy Joe. So the police initially called for a man, like they're calling for, like looking for him, a man with a scarred face as a person of interest because he had been disturbing the public. The police had received some complaints about this man walking around kind of being creepy. So they put out like an APB or whatever they call it. Eventually he was found and brought in, but they did find some weird things with this guy. So they found bits of plastic, like a plastic bag in his pockets, which they think would link him, or they thought would help link him to the scene because Billy Joe had a bag forced into her nose, which I don't understand how that happened. But unfortunately, he came up with an alibi and was cleared as a suspect. So the police had to pull up this scattered puzzle with missing pieces to figure out what happened to Billy Joe. So the first thought was this murder that happened close spy in the town of Hastings in 1996. And they were wondering if this had any connections to it. Another thought was the Lynn and Megan Russell murder and the Chillingdon murders. And they thought maybe that could be a connection, like similar MOs kind of thing. But these are just grasping at straws, essentially. There was also this park called, or excuse me, this road, Lower Park Road. And there had been 41 crimes committed, as well as 25 in Alexander Park, which was not super far away from where they lived. So they're really trying to pull something together. Sean had also told the police that there was a man caught lurking in their garden the past couple weeks. And I was like, so you let your daughter paint outside when you have seen a man walking around, like, creeping on you? That's, oh, upsetting, but nothing we could do about it now. I just thought that was very weird. Also, Billie Jo herself had actually complained about a man following her, but this was around 2 years ago when it first started, when she first started talking about it. She also said that someone was making calls to the house and then hanging up before saying anything, and she thought that that was linked to it too. So just weird things happening. She had even spoken to some friends a few weeks earlier, only a few weeks earlier. I didn't get an exact timeline, but it was very close, saying that a leather jacketed man was following her around. And it's like, oh my gosh, guys, something should have been done. Like, this just, it can't be coincidental, you know? And just the fact that he let her be alone, but there's nothing you can do. So this led the police to linking the M25 murderer. So the M25 murderer, he was a killer known to be around that road, the 25. He wore a leather jacket specifically, but he would rape his victims. And Billie Jo had not been raped, thank the Lord. So unfortunately, she was ruled out and there was no answers. At this point, they really have nothing to go off of except that there was this empty house right next to where they lived. It was basically run down, just in a very, very bad state. But they think that whoever did this was just waiting in that house, waiting for her to be alone, and then to do what they had to do, or to do what they did to Billie Jo. But that theory, it was just so not great. I don't know a good word to put with that. I'm not very articulate, but it wasn't a strong theory, you know? So it didn't take police long to come up with another idea. The father, which is very unfortunate in many reasons. I'll wait till the end to talk about this part. Sorry for the, I'm a little scatterbrained. Let's just say that. I have so much information packed into my head from school that this is a little hard to do, but I'm pushing through. I'm so sorry. I hope you can push through with me. All right. So they thought that the father could do it. So he was arrested actually on February 24th and charged with her murder on March 14th. And this is a story that was built by the police. Not saying that they did it wrong, but they were just piecing together the puzzle. Not saying it's right or wrong. So the father had gotten irritated about something. The couple theories were that the music was too loud that she was listening to, or she was doing a really bad job painting the patio, and he lashed out at Billie. They said that he would have had about 3 minutes to kill her because when the girls went into the car, he went back in to do something. But the issue with this is, how could you go and brutally attack this little girl and then go into your car and just be however you are? So the other thing to keep in mind is that eventually the wife and the daughters, I think the daughters say this, definitely the wife, say that he was an abusive man. So this is what the wife says. She never went back on this, so I'm not going to challenge it. So maybe it was just the normal. Maybe he was just an angry guy and he was always unease, you know? So it's a theory. Leave it at that. So the start of the hunt was these little tiny spots that they found on his clothes. It was either 148 or 139 micro blood spatters on the father's clothing. So that means so small, you could not see it with the naked eye. Now, guys, Billy Joe was beaten with a tent peg because Annie was cleaning out the storage shed and she left it out. Not saying that it's her fault, but that's just the facts. So that's what the killer grabbed. And there was blood all over it. And there was blood all over her. So that was the biggest issue, is that how could they use these tiny blood spatters as evidence of him doing it if it was just a huge mess? So the prosecution said that the only way he could get them is if he was standing very close to her when hitting her. Like, and it would be, I think, aspirations that would create those. But the defense said that it couldn't just be the little tiny bubbles. It would have to be more. They also said that the reason he had those on him was from the gas coming out. He had mentioned a little bubble that came out of her nose and it burst. And that's how he got it onto her, onto his clothes. The next part that they used was that he kept changing his story, saying that she was breathing and then she wasn't breathing. But I understand this because this is a very intense situation. You're very scrambled. You're saying one thing and then meaning another. I have done this plenty of times, and this is a very small piece. Then they brought up the white spirits, saying that he brought the wrong checkbook on purpose and that he was just trying to kill time to give an alibi, to give the space when this thing could have happened. He also took a very, very, very indirect route, which it is, I literally can't give an excuse for this. I think it ended up being two times that he went around his house. So I think it was, He backed out of his driveway. He said he couldn't make a 3-point turn, so he had to do a big loop. And at the turning point of the loop, he said to himself, it's late, I just need to go home. So he started coming home. But then he said his daughters were like, no, let's get it so we can help paint. So then he decided to circle around again to go to the store. So either way, I think he passed his house twice. And that's what he said and why he said he took such an odd route. Police said that, I don't know if you guys remember, he got into his car when the ambulance came in. They said that the reason he got into his car was to place the blood into the vehicle to have an excuse as to why it was there, because he just got in and then got out right away, which was weird, but he had an excuse. He was going to put the sunroof or the top down. But he was saying that he just did that so he could say why there was blood in there, which I don't know what to say about that. It seems pretty weird. But, you know, it's still unsolved, unfortunately. And he says he honestly doesn't know why, and he specifically said it was a dumb thing to do. They pointed out another thing, and this is not related to the case, but the police brought it up, and it was pretty big. He lied about his education in order to get a job, and they said that that showed his character as a person that he would lie. And he did come forward, I believe prior to this, saying that he lied, but he kept the job. He still had the job. And he said it was ridiculous that they were bringing it up. I think it was that he got a degree that he didn't, and that's what happened. It was weird. And then the final argument is that he was acting strange once he found her, which you guys know I absolutely hate this argument, because how could you judge someone in a time of chaos and pain and emotions? You know, they also said it was weird that he called the police right away instead of checking her, which I would absolutely call the police first. You know, better safe than sorry, better to overreact than underreact. I think that is perfectly acceptable. He called multiple times and he wasn't correct about the times in between, like when he was calling. He was worried about his car. The people didn't like the way he interviewed for the news. And he denied going into the house more than once. So those are just all the things, like acting strange, you know. And later on, he was on the news, to go back to the interview part, where he was just kind of monotone speaking, a little bit of emotion in his voice, while his wife was very just falling apart, essentially. But again, you really can't judge a person for going or judge a person on how they're going through something, because everyone is different. With all that evidence, I guess, in mind, the police felt like they had a very strong case and actually took it to court. So while this is happening, on April 23rd, Billy Joe's funeral was held and over 300 people attended. Luis and her daughters came, and I guess for some reason this made the birth mother extremely upset, and she just got up and left for her own daughter's funeral and never came back. She missed her own daughter's funeral and burial. Sean did end up making bail at this point, but he did not come to the funeral, which I understand, especially if people are assuming that he did it. So I get why he wouldn't want to come to that. No, I'm not exactly sure when this happened, at what point, but it was definitely between her funeral and before the final sentencing. His wife, Louise, came out with allegations saying that he was a very abusive and violent man, like I told you guys before, and how he would hit her and he would hit his daughters. And his daughters stand with that statement today. And some of their friends actually said that they would see bruises on the girls, because initially the girls did not agree with that statement. So it's very, very, very interesting. And it's hard to know if it's true, because people can be brainwashed one way or the other, and it's never been proven specifically. So that's just something I'm going to throw out there, that the wife and now the daughters too, like, I don't know when, I think it was 20 teens, that the girls came out too. But you really never know. So Sean was convicted in July of 1993. I almost said 2090. Really weird. And then he was convicted of her murder, sorry. And then in 1999, he appealed the evidence of the blood spatter, saying that the science was just unrealistic because of the way that they did the example in court was just not at all what it would have actually been like. And unfortunately, it was rejected. So then in 2003, he appealed again, and his case was actually brought back into court. In 2004, the appeal was brought up again. So in 2004, the court started the retrial, and the first one ended up with a deadlocked jury. So they did another trial, and the jury went through another deadlock. And unfortunately, that means that he was declared not guilty and free to go 6 years later in 2005. So as he got out, I believe he got married Luis divorced him when he was in prison. He eventually got married, I believe, while he was in prison, and he tried to sue the courts, but he did not succeed in that one. Louise and her daughters moved to Tasmania and have never contacted their father. So I feel like this happens a lot with the cases that I do that are unsolved. In 2022, more DNS testing was done. And I looked and I looked and I looked, and I could not find anything that was published about it, any final articles. And this is 2024. So almost 2 years later. I don't know how long it takes. I don't know how much priority that case had. So maybe it's still in the works. Maybe we're going to get an answer, but you just really don't know. Because I think a lot of people still think the dad did it and that he got out. So I think that's what they were kind of pushing for, was like, this is going to prove that the dad did it. And then it didn't. So they just didn't say anything. But to this day, no one really knows who killed Billy Joe Jenkins. I think that the dad is still kind of thought to have done it by the public, and he's having a hard time. But who knows? He was declared not guilty. So he's out there trying to hopefully figure out who killed his daughter. But that was the story of Billy Joe Jenkins. May her story live on forever, because she just seemed like such a wonderful girl. And it was really hard for me to do this case, honestly. I initially did it a couple, like, months back, and I didn't find a lot of information. Like, this is a long episode, but something about it just really stuck out to me and really stayed with me. And I don't know if it's because of Billy Joe, she just reminded me of myself so much. And I was like, you know, it's a short case, but it still deserves to be told. So that's kind of why I did it. So hopefully something might happen and she might find some kind of justice. But if you are interested in some pictures to see Billie Jo and her beautiful face, you can go on to the Instagram YDWK podcast or Facebook. You don't want to know. If you have case suggestions or have a story for me, it's ydwkpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you guys so much. I feel very rusty, very, very rusty. So I hope you guys can bear with me. My voice is almost gone. So maybe this wasn't the best idea, but we're done. So we did it. Thank you guys so much for listening. We're almost to summer, so enjoy the sun rays.